Hello there and welcome to the program once again. My name is Gary Zimek, and you know what? It is always a pleasure to be here with you. And when I say that, I mean it from the depths of my heart. It is really a pleasure to be with you. Today's been one of those days where things have been weighing me down a little bit. I'm sure you've had those days at times. You may be having one now. But when I get this opportunity to sit before this microphone and speak with you in the presence of God, that is something that uplifts me. It really does. And therefore, I'm glad that we get to do this once each week. This week, we'll be looking at the Mass readings for the 28th Sunday in Ordinary Time. The theme, Unlocking the Power of God. What is it that unlocks the power of God? I'll give you a little preview. Faith. Faith unlocks the power of God. So we're going to be talking about faith. You know, it's pretty funny, pretty interesting the way the Holy Spirit works, because just prior to the program, we've been discussing, in addition to the Mass readings, little excerpts from my latest book, Lord Save Me, Prayers and Encouragement When Life Feels Hard. Well, this week we're going to be talking about hopelessness. And the meditation I chose, and this is one that I didn't consider the overall theme when choosing this, but the meditation I chose for this particular chapter in the book that I'm going to share with you today has to do with faith. So I really think the Holy Spirit wants to impress upon us the idea that faith really does matter. And also, what I'm going to say to you is, don't panic if you don't feel like your faith is strong enough. We're going to talk about this. What does it mean to have strong faith? Well, it means less than you think it does. How about that? If you're being hard on yourself, think, oh my goodness, my faith is horrible. I'm never going to get anything I want. I'm going to get God mad at me. I want you to relax. Because the mere fact that you feel that way probably indicates that your faith is stronger than you think it is. So I'm going to tell you, without knowing your particular situation, you're listening to this program, I believe that you are in better shape than you think you are. Now, can we improve when it comes to faith? Absolutely. We should never get to that point where we just put our feet up and say, all right, that's it. No more need to grow in faith. No, that's a sign of pride. That is not or complacence. That is not a good place to be. But if we always look at our faith as standing in need of improvement, without depressing you, I mean, this isn't meant to make you feel discouraged, like, oh my gosh, I'm never going to get any better. No, it's a means of hungering for more of what God wants to give. I think once we start becoming satisfied in our spiritual journey, then we're in trouble. Then we're in trouble. So we want to maintain that healthy hunger to grow closer to God. I really believe that. So I hope this is making you feel better. If it's not, I'm sorry. That's not my intention. Anyway, we are going to pray in just a couple of minutes. We're going to pray, and then we'll read a little bit from my book, Lord Save Me. Then we'll get right into these Mass readings for the 28th Sunday in Ordinary Time, Unlocking the Power of God. So if you'll join me right now, the first thing I want to do is make sure we all understand, especially myself, that we are in the presence of our Heavenly Father. He's watching over us. He hears our words. He reads our thoughts. And he understands the desires of our heart. So let's have the desire right now to draw closer to him, to praise him, to thank him, to ask for forgiveness, and to ask him also for what we need this day. And if you'll join me, we begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for being present with us. Father, even though we can't see you, we know by faith that you are with us. We know that you're watching over us. We know that you hear our words. We don't have to feel it, Father, but we believe it. And we don't always feel it. And I know that you don't hold that against us. But when we turn to you in prayer, even if we feel our faith is weak, it shows that we have faith because we are turning to you in prayer. So, Father, in all of my imperfection and possibly the imperfection of anybody else that might be listening right now, we turn to you with good intentions. And the first thing we want to do, Father, is praise you. We praise you for your magnificence, for your unconditional love for each one of us. for your ability to do incredible things, for the fact that you are infinitely loving for each of your toward each of your creatures, for the fact that you've accomplished so many great things throughout history. We praise you for these things, Father. We also thank you for the blessings that you've given to each of us. You've blessed us with the gift of life. You've sustained us for all these years. You provided us with some sense of joy and happiness, maybe not all the time, but on many occasions. You sent Jesus into the world to redeem us, so we're grateful for that. We're grateful that you adopted us as your children. We're grateful for the sacraments and for the church. We're grateful for technology so that we can have programs like this. Father, in the event we offended you, and I'm sure we did in some way, either by what we did or what we didn't do, we want to say we're sorry, and we ask you to please forgive us, because we know you are merciful. We know that you will forgive us. But we also, Father, ask for the grace to do better, to live as people who please you, who live in holiness, who imitate the virtues of your Son, Jesus. That's what we strive for, Father, and we can't do it without your help. So we ask you for the grace to do a better job, to love as you love, to think as you think, to speak and to act in a way that would please you. Father, we pray for all of our needs, the needs of our friends and families. We pray for all those who have asked us to pray for them. We pray for our country. We pray for all around the world who are struggling with various issues. We pray for an end to war and terrorism. We pray for healing in body, mind, and spirit for those who are sick. We pray for our church, our Holy Father, Pope Leo, all of our bishops, all of our priests, all who are in positions of authority in the church. We pray for our deacons, all members of religious orders. We pray for all members of our church. We pray for our separated brothers and sisters. We pray for an increase in vocations. We pray, Father, for those who are traveling today. We pray for those who are discouraged or hopeless or suicidal. We pray for the souls in purgatory. And Father, lastly, I ask you to give me the words today for this program. Send your Holy Spirit. Let me know what I'm supposed to say. Let me deliver the message that you want delivered. And please open all of our hearts and all of our minds so that we may hear your words and put them into practice. Father God, I ask these things in the most holy and the most sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, man, that felt good. I hope you enjoyed that. I love it when we get to pray together. It restores my hope. You know, sometimes I get a little discouraged about things that are happening. And today, a series of events took place, just one thing after another, not major stuff, but just enough to bring me down and to take away some of my peace. And, before this program, I spent some time alone with the Lord in prayer, doing some spiritual reading, speaking with him. And then you and I get together today. We get to spend this time together and we get to pray, and I'm excited. And it just makes me peaceful. And I know that's from the Lord. I know that's not anything I'm conjuring up on my own. But I just want to thank you and let you know how much it means to be able to do this show with you. And I'm grateful for your listenership. I'm grateful for all of the podcast services who provide the show. I'm grateful for the Catholic radio stations who air the show. And I'm very grateful, and I'm so glad we get to do this. Okay, so I mentioned at the beginning, we're going through my book, Lord Save Me, Prayers and Encouragement When Life Feels Hard. And I just want to continue that today. We're on chapter 8. There's 10 chapters in the book, so we're kind of nearing the end. And you can find out more about the book or pick up a copy if you're interested by going to my website, followingthetruth.com. But we're in the chapter on hopelessness, and I want to share couple sentences that I wrote in the beginning of this chapter with you now. Nothing can be as damaging to our relationship with God as hopelessness. When we feel hopeless, We view our problems as unsolvable, and God as someone who is unwilling or unable to help us. Typically beginning with discouragement, the feeling of hopelessness can overtake us in a relatively short time and even lead to despair. Unless we find a way to recognize God's love for us and his power over our difficulties, we will live our days burdened by darkness. The good news lies in the truth that God does love us and can do all things. Nothing is hopeless in his eyes. To find the light he has to offer, though, we have to do some work to train our minds. Let us reflect on God's promises as revealed in the Bible verses and pray for an outpouring of his grace. Now, this is the introduction to my chapter, which contains several Bible verses giving hope to the hopeless and also short meditations. We're just going to look at one today, though. And here's the one I chose, Luke 17:6. The Lord replied, "If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you would say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you." Now, these were the words of Jesus in response to being asked by his apostles, "Lord, increase our faith," which is, look, a common request. Like, I want to have a stronger faith. I want to believe more strongly. And as we look at these readings today, you're going to see why that matters. But the Lord's answer, I think, is one filled with hope and optimism, one that should be very comforting, because what he says, instead of saying, "Yes, I will increase your faith, he basically said, "Use the faith you have." We've all received faith, the theological virtue of faith. We received it when we were baptized. Now, can it grow? Absolutely. Should it grow? Absolutely. So we get it in seed form when we're baptized. We get a little seed of faith. You know, think of it as a mustard seed, which is a very small seed. That's why the Lord used that example. And we're called as Christians to use that faith. And what is faith? In a general sense, it's accepting the word of another. You know, somebody tells you something, and you can't prove it for yourself, you believe them. Now, Christian faith is different. It means that we believe all that God has revealed through his church, right? Because the church has taught, and that includes the Bible, because the church compiled the books of the Bible. So we believe all that God has taught, but then we're also called, that's the essence of faith, but we are called to practice that faith by making acts of faith. Well, what do? Well, when we believe that what God has revealed is true, we act upon it. So when we step out in faith, we're saying, "All right, Lord, you told me something, and I'm going to believe it and put it into practice." Now, when it comes to prayer, when we pray and ask God to help us, we are accepting, we are putting into practice the faith that God is all-powerful and can help us. So in a nutshell, when you pray, you're practicing your faith. And since you received faith as a mustard seed when you were baptized, it could be very, very, very small, but the fact that you're praying shows that you are using your faith. And what did Jesus say about prayer? Faith the size of a mustard seed, it can move a tree, a mulberry tree, into the sea, right? Another place he talks about moving a mountain. So even the smallest amount of faith, which you have if you were baptized, can unleash miraculous power from God. What does that mean? It means that if you are praying, you are exercising your faith. It doesn't mean that you can't be scared. It doesn't mean that you don't have some doubt mixed in. It means that you're putting into practice the faith that you have received. You're showing that you believe in God. Because if you didn't believe in him, you wouldn't be praying. So I want to say, if you're hopeless, respond to that feeling of hopelessness, which, first of all, isn't true, even though your problem may not ever get solved. And honestly, some problems we pray for, they just never get solved. It doesn't mean that God couldn't solve it because he's powerless. No, he's bigger than your problem. Sometimes he chooses to allow our problems to remain because he wants to bring a greater good out of the situation we're going through. And we can question that. We can get mad. We can stomp our feet, as I do sometimes. But I've learned, and I am learning, that God does know best, and I'm going to choose to believe that through faith. And once we start to do that, we begin to be more peaceful, and we really give the Lord a chance to work. So this is a perfect lead-in to our readings today for the 28th Sunday in Ordinary Time, unlocking the power of God through faith. So why don't we just get into it right now? Before I do that, I want to remind you that you can go to my website, followingthetruth.com, to connect with me, to find out about all my books, to find out how to bring me to speak at your parish, or to sign up for my daily email reflection, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled. You can do that at followingthetruth.com. All right, let's get right into these readings as we do on the show each week. We're going to start with the gospel. We'll let the gospel lead the way. Then we'll back up and use the other readings chosen by the church, which support the gospel. So the gospel for the 28th Sunday in Ordinary Time is Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. And here it is. As Jesus continued his journey to Jerusalem, he traveled through Samaria and Galilee. As he was entering a village, 10 lepers met him. They stood at a distance from him and raised their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." And when he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." As they were going, they were cleansed. And one of them, realizing he had been healed, returned, glorifying God in a loud voice, and he fell at the feet of Jesus, and he thanked him. He was a Samaritan. Jesus said in reply, 10 were cleansed, were they not? Where are the other 9? Has none but this foreigner returned to give thanks to God?" Then he said to him, "Stand up and go." Ready for this? "Your faith has saved you." Now, there are a number of different directions we can go here. Typically, this is one of the gospels that can be used on Thanksgiving Day. And it reminds us of, it reminds us to be grateful, to be thankful to God for the many things he has done for us. We want to be that one leper who goes back to Jesus and says, "Thank you, Lord." But when it comes to faith, and I'm going to go a different route today, I'm not going to pursue the Thanksgiving aspect of this, because when you look at all the readings today, they have to do with faith. A very critical point in this story that we don't want to miss is when we have these lepers, they went to Jesus and they said, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." First of all, they are showing their faith. They are having faith that Jesus can heal them. But listen to what happens next. This is really important. When he saw them, he said, go show yourselves to the priest. Now, back in the Lord's day, it was necessary when one had leprosy and was cured of leprosy to have the priests verify that the cure had taken place. And that way they can be admitted back into the population, because they were outcasts when they had leprosy. So they really were just completely shunned by the people. They were living by themselves. So the priest had to proclaim that they had been healed in order for them to be allowed to join their fellow Israelites. But notice what Jesus said. He said, "Go show yourself." Now, these are lepers. They weren't healed yet. "Go show yourselves to the priest." In other words, the typical process is you're healed and then you go see the priest. They weren't healed, and Jesus is sending them to the priest. They had to have faith in order to do that, because they weren't healed when they started their journey to go see the priest, right? The very next verse, as they were going, they were cleansed. They needed to take that first step out in faith to say, "You know what? I can't see the evidence yet. I can't see the evidence of my healing, but I'm going to believe Jesus said I could be healed, that I am healed." And then forwarding ahead to the final verse of this gospel passage, Jesus talks to the one leper who returned in thanksgiving. And he said, "Stand up and go. Your faith has saved you." So, you can look at faith. Obviously, they all had some degree of faith, but one's faith led him to come back to Jesus and give thanks. Now, it's one thing to have faith, but there are different degrees of faith. And the ultimate expression of faith is one that leads to gratitude. We don't want to ignore the gratitude. But the point here is, They had faith and they were healed because of their faith. And that's pretty powerful. That is a powerful message. Now let's look at the first reading and see what you think about this. 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 14 through 17. Naaman went down and plunged into the Jordan 7 times at the word of Elisha, the man of God. His flesh became again like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean of his leprosy. Naaman returned with his whole retinue to the man of God. Upon his arrival, he stood before Elisha and said, "Now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. Please accept a gift from your servant." Elisha replied, "As the Lord lives, whom I serve, I will not take it." And despite Naaman's urging, he still refused. Naaman said, "If you will not accept, please let me, your servant, have 2 mule loads of earth, for I will no longer offer holocaust or sacrifice to any other god except to the Lord." Now, this is an example of somebody stepping out in faith. You know, Naaman had he had leprosy. We didn't get all of that in this first reading because there's just part of it that is included. But he didn't want to go and plunge into the Jordan when Elisha told him, "This is how you can be cured of your leprosy." Elisha is the prophet, the successor to Elijah. Naaman didn't want to do it at first, but he was convinced and he decided, "Yeah, okay, I'm going to do this," because he expected to be healed in a more spectacular manner. He thought that the Jordan River, the dirty Jordan River, wasn't good enough. That wasn't how God was going to heal him. But eventually, what did he do? He had faith to believe in God's word as spoken through the prophet. And look, he was healed. So we see this in the first reading and in the gospel. People who were healed from leprosy, but nonetheless, they were healed by their faith. Because if they didn't have faith, they wouldn't have listened. Naaman wouldn't have plunged into the Jordan River. And the lepers wouldn't have shown themselves to the priest as verification of their healing if they didn't believe that somehow a healing could take place. And I think that's a really good lesson for each of us. You know, we all need something, you know, whether it's a spiritual healing or an emotional healing or a physical healing, whatever it may be. We stand in need of something. We may stand in need of a particular something we're requesting in prayer. But it requires faith. Not so much to do it the first time. That's often easy. "Hey, Lord, can you please help me with this?" But the 57th time, right, becomes a little more difficult. And that's when we really have to lean into our faith. Despite what we may see, despite the fact that it appears the Lord is not answering, but really doubling down and saying, "You know what, I'm going to keep asking by faith." And that's my message to you today. Don't give up. If you think you need something, until the Lord says no, because sometimes no is a valid answer, but until he does, don't stop praying. Doesn't matter how you feel. I have to do this every day. There's a couple intentions. Boy, we've been praying for these things for years. And I still am praying for them because I don't really see the results. It doesn't mean God's not working behind the scenes, because I believe he is. And when the time is right, he'll grant these requests in some way, you know, in the best way possible. All right, I don't want to run out of time here, so let's look at the responsorial psalm, Psalm 98. "The Lord has revealed to the nations his saving power. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done wondrous deeds. His right hand has won victory for him, his holy arm. The Lord has made his salvation known in the sight of the nations. He has revealed his justice. He has remembered his kindness and his faithfulness toward the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation by our God. Sing joyfully to the Lord, all you lands. Break into song, sing praise. The Lord has revealed to the nations his saving power." We can look back through history and see all that the Lord has done for his people over the years. And also, I'm sure if each of us look into our own lives, we could recognize the many times the Lord has come through for us, even if it felt like it took too long or it looked impossible at the time. So when we look back to these times and all that he has done, we should use that to build our faith for what we're, as you know, in the present time and in the future. so that we're not afraid. You know, hey, the Lord's been pretty good in the past, and he doesn't change. That's what the church teaches. Therefore, he will come through in the right way, in the right time. Second reading, 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning in verse 8. Beloved, remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, a descendant of David. Such is my gospel, for which I am suffering, even to the point of chains, like a criminal. But the word of God is not chained. Therefore, I bear with everything for the sake of those who were chosen, so that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus, together with eternal glory. This saying is trustworthy. If we have died with him, we shall also live with him. If we persevere, we shall also reign with him. But if we deny him, he will deny us. If we are unfaithful, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. To just put this in a nutshell, Paul is in chains. Paul's a prisoner right now. But he hasn't given up his belief in the Lord Jesus Christ, because he knows that his suffering has a purpose. He knows that even though it doesn't seem like it, and he can't verify it by his current situation, he knows that the Lord is in control. And the only way that you and I can believe that, like Paul, is through faith. So I'll encourage you today, and I'm going to encourage myself, and these readings have helped me today, to remember, it doesn't matter what it looks like to me. It doesn't matter if I'm not seeing the results. It doesn't matter if it looks impossible. It doesn't matter if my life appears to be a complete disaster. It doesn't matter. It may look like that to me, but by faith, I can choose to believe that God is in charge. He knows what he's doing. He loves me. He's hearing my prayers, and he will act in the right way at the right time. That's the faith that he wants us to have. St. Paul says, we walk by faith and not by sight. I'll be honest, a lot of times I'm walking by sight, and I need to get better at walking by faith. Faith unlocks the power of God, and every one of us has the ability to choose to act in faith today. And I'm going to encourage you to do that. We are just about out of time. I want to thank you for listening today. FollowingTheTruth.com is my website. I hope to see you next week again. God bless you, and take care.